all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. It's Monday, January 23rd. Coming up this hour, State Senator Jeff Smith. We're going to talk about the State of the State address to be delivered tomorrow night by Governor Tony Evers. We're going to be talking about efforts to repeal the state's abortion ban, which was written back in 1849, and calls by Democrats for a member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission to step down because of bragging done by Bob Spindell about suppressing minority votes in Milwaukee last year. We're also hoping to talk to Eric Enrich, the mayor of Green Bay. Now that we're on Green Bay Radio, we'd love to hear from him and find out what's going on in the Fox Valley. And then we'll wrap up the hour over in the newsroom with a visit with Terry Bell with the three things that you should know for today. To reach us, 844-967-2789. Or 715-388-7155, whichever one you care to write down and keep next to your phone. You like how I say keep next to your phone as if you've got a phone still sitting on the counter? I meant more as like put it on a post-it note and then just put the post-it note on your phone. That's how I would do it.
You know, that you do have a list of contacts in your phone, but I do like the uniqueness and the style of the post-it note on the phone. That way you have to take it off every time you want to use your phone so you remember it.
Guys, can you imagine if we actually did that? You can email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com as well. This seems a good time as any to tell you that Civic Media is giving away $1 million in free advertising. If you are a local business owner in Wisconsin, you want to advertise on the radio, you haven't gotten around to it, or you don't know where to begin, here's your chance. You can work with one of the fastest growing media companies in Wisconsin and get a radio advertising campaign to promote your business for free. Simply go to civicmedia.us on Thursday morning of this week, starting at 9 a.m. And there will be $1 million in free radio advertising. The applications open at 9 a.m. and will be open until the $1 million is gone. So keep Thursday in mind to be a part of that. Now, I referenced that Senator Jeff Smith will be on later. We'll talk a bit about Bob Spindell, the Wisconsin Elections Commissioner, who put out an email earlier in the year, more of a year in review from the 2022 elections, in which he bragged about efforts made that resulted in something like 37,000 fewer votes in Milwaukee, and with his own emphasis, noting that the fewer votes were in Black and Hispanic voting districts. So how do you define whether that was a good thing to do or not? And well, let's divide it this way. First, Bob Spindell did a couple of the weekend shows, and I believe this one is from Upfront from WISN. He was also on Here and Now from Wisconsin Public TV, if I'm not mistaken. And you know, Bob Spindell is one of three Republican members of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, and there are three Democrats on the commission. So when you hear this, you're going to know. I mean, this guy's Republican through and through. He is, I think, the chair of the 4th Congressional District Democrats in the Milwaukee area. But listen to his lame excuse first as to why there was fewer votes by communities of color in Milwaukee. And just listen to his choice of words as well from Bob Spindell.
And I think what the Democrats need to do is look at how they lost because of their Phil Biden-type policies, high crime in Milwaukee, inflation, education. With several of these issues we tried to put forth in our talk shows. We have a Black talk show, as you know, twice a week, and radio ads. And I think that's why many of these people have become disinfected and disenchanted with coming out to vote, including those in the minority community.
Did you catch that? These people. I think that's why many of these people have become disaffected and disenchanted. And did you like the reference of the kind of throwaway line? We have a Black talk show, you know. I mean, it's like, well, you know, I have a Black friend, you know, so I can't possibly be racist. And that was the essence of what he said, in that he said as well that what it was they poured, the Republican Party poured more resources into Milwaukee than ever before to do outreach to communities of color. And that would be fine if the outreach were actually to, you know, win votes. But instead, it was to make people feel so bad about politics that they don't vote at all. They don't take part in their democracy at all. And State Senator LaTanya Johnson caught that right away and had this to say about Spindell's comments.
Rather than take the time to earn those votes and to get those individuals to switch over to the Republican Party, they decided that the best thing that they could do is to make sure that those individuals felt so bad about the Democratic Party that they wouldn't go to the polls to vote at all.
And when you are telling people, in essence, through your messaging, you may as well stay home, that's voter suppression. It's not the voter suppression to the point of, you know, a poll tax. It's not voter suppression to the point of trying to erase voters from the polls. But how pro-democracy is it to make people so feel so bad about their democracy that they go, ah, both sides are the same. I won't even show up and vote. Because you can't win with your ideas. You can't win with your candidates. You can't win with your record, which is atrocious, especially for communities of color. And so instead, you try to tear down the other guy, the other party, the other candidate. And how pro-democracy is that? It's not. Not in the least. We'll look to talk to State Senator Jeff Smith and Green Bay Mayor Eric Enrich yet this hour. You're up north. It's a Monday morning. This is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. I was so proud of myself in the last hour for letting people know that because of my Polish heritage, I knew how to say and spell Protasiewicz, the Milwaukee County judge who's running for a spot on the state Supreme Court. It then occurred to me that as the Green Bay mayor hopped on the line here, and I've covered him as a legislator and as mayor, and unfortunately about 50% of the population will mispronounce Kreitlow as Kreitlow. And it suddenly occurred to me, Eric, Mr. Mayor, that I thought I was right all this time with Genrich, but some people say Genrich, and you get to set the record straight.
It is Genrich.
Genrich it is.
Yeah, okay. It's a good Pomeranian name. So it's, yeah, it's K sound at the end there.
See, there you go. Also a Pomeranian by birth. So nice to have you here, Mr. Mayor. Thank you so much. We're on the air now in Green Bay, have been for a week. And so it's awfully nice of you to play the role of welcome wagon for us.
Yeah, no, happy to welcome you to Green Bay. I've been enjoying listening to you on the airwaves for the last week. Was sort of catching up with former Representative Chris Taylor, who you had on last week. And so, yeah, just really excited to have you on the airwaves here in Green Bay, and welcome to town.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Trust me. And I can't wait to get out there soon and do a little visit to the studio and talk to more folks out there as we, you know, get these civic media stations put up all around the state so that folks aren't just hearing the same old programming that they've been hearing for a generation. And a lot of that programming isn't really kind to people like Mayor Eric Enrich, who has been doing a lot around the community and is always looking for an opportunity to talk about it. We should note that you are a candidate for re-election. You are on the ballot this April. One of four candidates, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay. So there will be a primary come February. And if you're one of the top two candidates, then you advance to another. And it's a four-year term, correct?
Yep, that's exactly right.
Okay. So assuming that's the case, at least on, you know, what I'm reading about the candidates here, you'll get an opportunity to continue work in another 4 years. But let's talk about the past four for a second. You can tee them up any way you like. But as I looked at things, one thing stood out for me in terms of recent news coverage, and that was getting the Green Bay Police Department back to nearly fully staffed, which in an era of worker shortages overall, and police and fire in particular, sounds like you guys have been working awfully hard on that particular project.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been proud of the progress that we've made with regard to public safety, especially, you know, on this point that you had made, which is that we're really close to being fully staffed within the Green Bay Police Department, which is pretty unique, comparing us to other departments around the state or around the country. We've got a new chief in Chris Davis, who's who's been doing a fantastic job in recruiting new officers, along with Captain Allen and his team, who's kind of focused on that effort. And, you know, myself and the Common Council have also done some work to create some additional incentives for police officers and for firefighters, really any public employee. One program that we've created is a $5,000 down payment assistance program for city employees, both new and prospective, who decide to locate in particular neighborhoods within the city of Green Bay. So we're constantly thinking of different ways to attract folks into our organization, but with particular emphasis on police and fire. We have added 7 additional police officers to our table of organization over the last 4 years, recognizing the fact that, you know, it's really our first priority, right, is keeping our community safe. You know, keeping people in their homes and in their neighborhoods safe. So that's been a big point of emphasis for us. We're also bringing on our largest class of firefighters here in 2023, 22 new firefighters. A lot of retirements occurred in the fire service over the last year. And so we're going to have a big addition of firefighters there. And also wanting, you know, if folks are interested in living in the city of Green Bay, we really want to see that happen with our workforce. So that's something we're really proud of.
And in terms of that financial incentive and dollars and cents overall, we're going to talk a bit about budgets and such coming up in a bit. But since I did mention, you know, the past 4 years and things you're talking about, I asked you first about police and fire staffing. But what do you tell people about in terms of, you know, what's been done over the past 4 years in Green Bay, of which you're especially proud?
Yeah, that is a big one. You know, that's something that we've talked a lot about. But in addition to that, you know, one of the things that I heard a lot about when I was running, and just as being a citizen of Green Bay, leading up to the election in 2019, pretty obvious that we needed to do some work on infrastructure. That too, not unique in the city of Green Bay. Infrastructure is a big need for communities, large and small, all across the state of Wisconsin and the country. But we've made that also a huge point of emphasis. So we've invested over $20 million in repairing or reconstructing roadways across the city of Green Bay, repairing, reconstructing over 22 miles of roads here, repaired 11 bridges, made substantial investments in our stormwater infrastructure. We experienced some pretty significant sort of flash flooding back in just before I was elected in March of 2019. And so recognized the importance of making some investments in traditional stormwater infrastructure, but also green stormwater infrastructure, helping residents make some improvements to their properties as well. We piloted a rain barrel distribution program, also planning to offer a revolving loan program to residents who want to do some innovative things with rain gardens and bioswales and other ways to reduce flooding in our neighborhoods. So infrastructure has been a huge point of pride and emphasis for us, and will continue to be moving forward.
It's not exactly infrastructure, but when you mentioned climate and rain and things that needed to be adjusted, I know a lot of folks there think about the big coal piles that are there. And yep. There's been progress on that over these past couple of years as well. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's not a done deal yet, but we're really optimistic about our chances of actually relocating those coal piles, which have been a fixture of Green Bay's downtown, sadly, for, you know, over 100 years. So working closely with our county, we've been able to pull down $25 million between state and federal resources to make that effort possible. So now the city of Green Bay is engaged with C. Rice, who's the operator of that terminal right near our Mason Street Bridge. So we've had some really good conversations with them. The county is also in discussions with them to make that relocation possible. That kind of, you know, segues into another big priority, which is obviously community and economic development. You know, the downtown is the heart of our community. So we've spent a lot of time on that project in particular. Our hope to relocate the coal piles just north of there. We have a really exciting shipyard development is what we call it. So another enhancement in our riverfront, adding some public amenities as far as a riverfront promenade, some floating docks, a fishing pier, and really just the first phase of development. We're also going to see around 225 apartment units established there and some other improvements in the area, but not just focused on downtown. We have some significant commercial corridors on the east and west sides. So we've seen a lot of really great improvement in our East Town Mall. Like a lot of communities, you know, seeing this mall sort of nearly shuttered, really slowed down in terms of the commercial activity there. But working in partnership with a great local developer, Garrett Bader, you know, done some pretty innovative things in terms of locating a tent manufacturer on the backside of this old mall, and then reorienting some of that commercial space and right-sizing it. So we've seen a lot of activity out there. Also in partnership with the Martin family over on Military Avenue. The original Shopko store is, of course, now shuttered, but working with the Martin family as well as Gorman Company to improve that property, add some housing, and just, you know, make sure that that we've got investments being made, not just in downtown, but also all across the community here.
And not just for places to be reached by cars, but I understand bike trails, walking trails are continuing to grow in the area as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's, I think, a priority for a lot of young people, but also retirees that are, you know, interested in staying active. And so we do have a safe walk and bike plan that was just adopted back in 2019. Busy implementing that. We're able to access some federal funding to make possible a safe route to school. That's going to not, you know, in immediate future, but in 2025, because of somehow the federal money gets pulled down, making that enhancement. And, you know, actually in the process of applying to Bloomberg Foundation to make a connection between downtown Green Bay and Lambeau Field by bike. So yeah, a lot of exciting possibilities with regard to alternative modes of transportation as well.
Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich is joining us on Up North News Radio as we're talking about developments in Green Bay over the past few years. And you mentioned the downtown district, the Broadway district is, did I rewrite, is Winterfest this coming up this weekend?
There? Yeah. Yep. Winterfest is just around the corner on Broadway, and downtown Green Bay have been doing some fantastic things to activate the community. Downtown Green Bay partnered with Schreiber recently to install an I Love GB sign. The heart, of course, is a piece of cheese, which is fitting for both Schreiber and for the city of Green Bay. So that's a really nice addition to our city deck on Broadway. As you mentioned, preparing for Winterfest, you know, both organizations always trying to come up with all kinds of ideas to activate the community, especially in the winter months where we tend to want to hibernate a little bit too much. And so looking forward to that event. I also should mention that on Broadway's, you know, really doing some interesting development work. They are hoping to establish a public market similar to Milwaukee's public market on Broadway. And so just saw some recent renderings of what might be possible there. Excited about what that might mean for downtown Green Bay and the region as a whole. Cause you know, the kind of visitors that you see to the Milwaukee public market is in the neighborhood of a million a year. And this public market would be of similar scale. And I think the aspirations are similar in terms of the potential impact on the economy.
So in our final minute, you served in the state assembly alongside Jeff Smith, who's now a state senator. We're talking to him right after in our next segment. So you can definitely speak to the importance of the legislature taking shared revenue more seriously for that funding that helps you to hire police and fire and do development and everything else. Where's your sense of what is possible now that the Republican-led legislature has seen that they have to deal with a reelected Governor Evers?
Yeah, I mean, it's been really encouraging. We're hearing all the right things. You know, one of the governor's first meetings was with me and my fellow mayors of the five largest cities in the state of Wisconsin. Continue to be really optimistic about what the governor is going to bring forward. Of course, which he's, you know, done in these last couple budgets. But the thing that's shifted, I think, is the legislature's understanding that something needs to be done here. You can't just talk about roads. You can't just talk about public safety and there being priorities. You need to actually invest in them. So I think we're seeing the stars aligning a little bit, and I remain optimistic that something's actually going to get done this session.
Eric Enrich is the mayor of Green Bay, and we so appreciate a visit with us and look forward to making this a more regular occurrence now that we're heard throughout the Fox Valley. Mr. Mayor, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. And I'll bring the big scissors. You know, we'll cut the ribbon at the office downtown on Washington Street. That'll be a lot of fun.
I'm in. I'm so in. All right. State Senator Jeff Smith in our next segment. You're up north.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Well, life on the farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy like me can't hack. It's early to rise, early in the sack. Thank God I'm a country boy.
There's always a conflict when talking about State Senator Jeff Smith of how to describe his title, because while Eau Claire is the biggest city in his district, he is not necessarily from the city of Eau Claire proper. He's on some farmland in the, is it town of Brunswick, Senator Smith?
Town of Brunswick. Just okay. Borders the city of Eau Claire.
Okay. Where we find the good senator. How are you this morning?
I am doing well.
All right.
I feel like I have recovered fully from a very harsh campaign and ready to roll up our sleeves and try to get something done.
Well, you really were a poster child for a Democrat running in a, you know, lean Republican district, maybe even a strong lean Republican, but that through a lot of communication with the voters, they understood how hard you were working and that a lot of your positions on the issues more closely mirror theirs and not that of the extreme wing of the party. And so there was this thought, hope, folly, whatever, that, you know, Republican legislators would be humbled, certainly isn't the right word, but maybe at least a little less wanting to be so obstinate in dealing with Governor Tony Evers in a second term. And yet we're hearing right off the top from them, for example, that there's no pathway, you know, towards certain things, even though they have overwhelming support. How much has changed, do you think, since before the election?
You know, we all came into this a month ago feeling like to feel optimistic because we were hearing things from the speaker in the assembly, Voss, that, well, he wasn't going to die, you know, fall on the sword over this flat tax and some other things. And he was willing to consider marijuana now. And, you know, that was starting to look like, well, maybe they are. They have been given the jolt of reality by the public. But now, of course, we know that was probably a diversion.
A post-election hangover, maybe?
Or? Yeah, so here we are. They've introduced resolutions into the Constitution and other things to not only drive up the vote in the spring for a very important spring election, but to actually get around the governor. So they're going to play with our Constitution and use that as a way to get their things done rather than actually go through the proper process of how the votes in the legislature followed by a governor who they should be working with.
Should be, but are not. And one thing that they know is that when it comes to the state's abortion ban, which went back into effect when Roe v. Wade was struck down, a ban that was written in 1849, they know that there is broad and bipartisan support among Wisconsinites for legal abortion options for women. And yet here we sit with this ban, which the voters themselves cannot come up with a constitutional amendment or anything to get rid of it. It has to come through this legislature. And so the question, and I think this is a genuine question, is there any chance that whatever the leadership thinks, that there are enough Republican legislators in the rank and file who might say, we do need to ask the voters about this because this is a very extreme ban, and they may still be opposed to abortion rights, you know, but they may want to see some exceptions that are not in the current abortion ban language. Or is that too much for anybody to hope for out of this legislature?
Yeah, I think it is too much to hope for. I think marijuana is even a better example of, I know the majority of our legislature would favor or vote in favor of marijuana decriminalization, or at least medical marijuana. But it is a handful, as you know, who stand in the way. And the Republican way of doing business is they have to have everybody on board or nobody. So that's why things don't get done. And the same, I think you're probably right with the ban. We're talking about a law that was initiated 70 years before women even got a chance to vote, before their voice was even a part of the conversation, before there were any women even in the legislature. And so here we are saying that we're going to go backwards to before women had a voice. I think that tells everything we need to know about the Republican Party right now, and that is that they don't care about certain segments of the population.
Well, that certainly takes us to Bob Spindell as we talk to Senator Jeff Smith, the Senate Assistant Democratic Leader here on Up North News Radio. We heard from one of your colleagues earlier, Senator LaTanya Johnson from the Milwaukee area, reacting to comments that Bob Spindell made late in the week, refusing to step down from the Elections Commission or even back off of his comments, where he bragged about his local Republican Party's effort to make tens of thousands of voters in Black and Hispanic communities so disenchanted with the whole process that they didn't even show up to vote. You, among others, have been calling for Spindell to resign because of that. Why?
You know, he was downright giddy that they were able to suppress at least 37,000 votes from 4 years ago. He specifically said, in the Black and brown communities of Milwaukee. He specifically targeted those communities as the communities that they were able to disenfranchise. And this is what I look at it, Pat. You know this. When we get elected, when we come in for that first date of swearing in, it's a swearing in. We take an oath. We take an oath to follow the Constitution, to follow certain rules. And you take it very seriously, that at least some of us do. They get very seriously that we have an important position. You would think, I am guessing that, and I don't know this, but if you're appointed to something as important as the Elections Commission, you should be taking an oath that you're there to be sure that you are protecting everyone's opportunity to vote, not helping to disenfranchise certain communities.
He went so far as to say in the interview over the weekend, quote, some people just don't want to vote. And talking about the resources that were put in to, as he called it, we have a Black talk show, you know. And he said, and we played this earlier in this hour, I think that's why many of these people have become disenchanted with coming out to vote, including those in the minority community. I mean, really treating them. Treating voters of color as a commodity that if you can't win them over, well, then just make them feel disenchanted with the whole process. And your colleague, Senator Johnson, you know, said that rather than take time to earn those votes and get them to switch to the Republican Party, it's instead make them feel so bad that they don't vote at all. And having him on the Elections Commission, especially as somebody who himself was one of the fake electors for Donald Trump, who signed fraudulent documents saying that Trump won. I mean, he shouldn't be, just this is me speaking. I want to know how you feel about it. He shouldn't have been on the commission. He should have been dropped from there the moment that that was discovered. But he wouldn't even recuse himself on a vote about the fake electors, which just tells you what how badly this system is working, a system, an elections commission designed by Republicans.
Not only wasn't he asked to step down, Senate leader Lemieux actually reappointed him for another 5 years. Now, speaking of Senator Johnson, I'm so proud of her stepping up, and I was standing there next to her when she did this, but the press asked, you know, why haven't you approached Senator Lemieux to do something about this rather than asking him to step down? And she stepped up and just told them the truth, the mature truth. This person, being the leader of the majority party, shouldn't have to be approached in such an egregious situation and reminded that this person shouldn't be serving on the election board. This is he is a grown up. He should know how terrible this is without us having to approach him and say, oh, do you know that you shouldn't probably be supporting this fellow on the elections board? So we working hand in glove with the Republican Party in a partisan manner when you're on the elections board. That's what it was. You and I know, let's face it, that was what it was designed to do in the first place. Why they got rid of the nonpartisan government accountability board. So that they could actually have an elections commission that did nothing but follow their bidding.
Yeah, so many 3-3 deadlocks once they made it a more partisan body that was basically designed to have gridlock built in. So to bring us back to your day-to-day work in the legislature, of course, job one in this session, like it is every 2 years, is writing a state budget. And I understand the concept of negotiating, that you come out with your first position, you know it's not going to be put into effect, you're going to have to compromise and such. But for me, for Republicans to still cling to the idea that a flat tax can be appealing as their opening bargaining chip, I think shows a level of being disingenuous or out of touch with voters that what makes them think that if you lower the top tax rate for the very wealthy from like 7.5% to 3.5%, and that, lower income and middle class families don't get a slash that big, that, a flat tax is just a giveaway. But, you're watching them up close. Do you think they'll cling to that all the way through? Or is that just an opening position that, eventually more sane heads will prevail on how to write a tax code for the state?
Well, it's obvious to most of us that since we know that 80% of the savings go to 20% of the taxpayers in the state, we know what they're up to. It also tells us how shallow the Republican Party is. They don't think deep enough or work hard enough. It's laziness to just say, let's just do this simple across the board 3.25% flat tax and call it a day. Well, as was explained on a talk show yesterday that I watched by a nonpartisan expert, that people need to know that they still have to fill out their tax forms. They still have to go through and take this claim or that claim or that claim. The form and all the work that goes into reporting your taxes is going to be exactly the same. Exactly the same. The difference is when you get down after you figure that all out, then you multiply it by that 3.25%. When in fact, right now, the tables tell you the same thing. What table you fall in, that's the number you follow. And why would you want someone, a billionaire, to actually be able to multiply by the same number you're multiplying by so that, and we're going to lose, what did they say, $5 billion per year in revenue to the state, and we're going to have to make that up somewhere else. And the things that were named by this expert were raising sales tax, raising property tax, the things that people really complain about.
Well, I suppose that's why it wasn't a huge surprise that at the national level, they're talking about, you know, these massive cuts because of the debt ceiling debate and talking about a 30% national sales tax. Again, the oversimplicity of a body, of a party that at the state level last week passed something that said all able-bodied childless adults must work for their benefits, from a group that took 10 months off and did a paid vacation. You are a braver man than me for continuing to do that in the Capitol, buddy.
Yeah, sometimes it's shameful to have to explain to voters that we did that. We were home collecting our salary, but we were not working.
Exactly. Senator Jeff Smith, good to talk to you, man. Have a great day.
Hey, thank you, Pat.
All right, we will wrap things up with Terry Bell in the newsroom after this. You're up north.
Woo! Thank God I'm a country boy. Yes!
Terry Bell joins us now from the Civic Media Newsroom to talk about the three things that you should know for today. Not among those three things, but up there anyway, would be the NFL playoffs, because we now know who the final four teams will be. And I peeked into those games now and then, and, you know, some of them were downright entertaining. It wasn't a bad slate of games.
No, it was fine. I honestly didn't pay a lot of attention to football this weekend because after the Packers are eliminated, my interest typically goes off a cliff. I did see the end of that Dallas-San Francisco game last night, and boy, oh boy, so many questions.
So many questions like where will Mike McCarthy work next? Because there's no way that he stays on as coach of the Cowboys after a couple of years of, I mean,
as Packers,
I don't want to, yeah, not go poor ahead. Results, but he can't get it done.
The Cowboys just can't get over that hump. I think they've lost 7 divisional games in a row over the years. Yeah,
a 26-year drought since even being in the NFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. You know, after being Packer fans, we've seen Mike McCarthy make some questionable late game decisions. This is old hat for us.
Yes, it is.
That last play where they put Ezekiel Elliott at center and had the interior lineman line up wide.
And instead, you know, Dak Prescott just gets, you know, obliterated, or the receiver gets
first
obliterated.
Elliott and then the receiver. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So anyway, the upshot of this is the San Francisco 49ers will travel to Philadelphia to play the Eagles next Sunday in the NFC Championship game. And the Cincinnati Bengals beat Buffalo in Buffalo over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And they head to Kansas City to play the Chiefs, who beat Jacksonville over the weekend. So again, probably will be some good football games. Again, not Packer-esque, but even then, when the State Farm commercials come up during the game and you see Aaron Rodgers on there, it just brings back the feeling like, oh man, what is this offseason going to bring for drama? You know,
it's going to be long and dramatic. Yeah, and as just personally, I think I speak for a lot of people. You know, with the Packers out of the picture, what keeps us engaged? I think for a lot of people, and I think I'm one of them, just cheering on Brock Purdy. He's the feel-good story of the year, and so I'm rooting for him to do well going on from here.
He is, and I would throw Josh Burrow from Cincinnati in there as well.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, but he and Josh Allen from Buffalo. I mean, part of the reason I like that game is I like both those quarterbacks. I think they are definitely the future of the league. Mm-hmm. I think, and now I mean, with Brock Purdy, is this a one and done? Was it beginner's luck? We don't know.
This happens.
These are going to be good quarterbacks to watch. I'm almost delaying the three things we should know for today because the first one on the list is just so disheartening. Yeah. But it has to be said that, you know, again, our lack of the well-regulated militia that the Second Amendment calls for means that we have to we have to experience another mass shooting over the weekend, this one in California.
And I guess if there's any good news, if you want to say that, is that the danger to the public has passed. The suspect apparently shot and killed himself in a van after this incident. 10 people killed, another 10 injured. That was supposed to be a very happy occasion, a New Year's celebration. And it was a very important celebration. It's a heavily a Chinese American community where this happened, and clearly this suspect or this person knew what they were doing. He knew he was inflicting a tragedy on a lot of people.
Yes, and apparently, and again, it's still speculative at this point, but that, you know, basically it's intimate partner domestic violence was, you know, at the root of this before this person went in and shot up a ballroom as part of the Lunar New Year celebration in Monterey, California. Thing number two to know this week is that the State of the State is happening, and that it's not just some, it means something. State of the State does have significance, which is why we're playing it on Civic Media radio stations tomorrow night, Terry.
It seems ceremonial, but it is really sort of the starting gun of the session, even though the session began last week. This is now the governor setting the agenda. This is kind of sort of like, you know, he's kind of laying down the gauntlet. Here's what I intend to do. Legislature, what say you after that? So it is important in that regard. And, you know, he's expected to talk about a lot of things that may get done, may not get done. He's expected to talk about a lot of things that he's been talking about over the years that don't get a lot of traction in the Republican-controlled legislature. But there is a strong feeling that there is going to be more bipartisan cooperation in this session. I think Republican leaders have accepted, after being elected a second time, that Tony Evers, in fact, is the governor and is entitled to the privileges that the governor gets, such as making appointments and whatnot. I think Republicans looked at the at the last election and saw that obstructionism just wasn't working back home, and I think they're more inclined to be cooperative. Which is not to say everything's going to sail through. It's not going to be, there aren't going to be some pretty rigorous debates. But, you know, their strategy was to make Tony Evers a one-term governor, and that didn't work. So they're going to have to come up with another strategy.
Yep. And so that all comes down to the State of the State, which will be, again, broadcast tomorrow night. And then it's kind of a two-parter with the State of the State. It's followed by the governor's budget address next month, February 14th, where it's you know, this part one is, like you said, it's conceptual. It's setting out the big picture. And then, you know, the budget address is, okay, here's how we're going to pay for it. And not just where the money goes, but where the money should come from. And it's really going to bring back that debate about, you know, Republicans wanting to have a flat tax versus a progressive tax code, which is a very fair debate to have.
Yep. And it's going to be played out. And we have this close to $7 billion surplus to utilize, and how best to do that. And this gives both sides some opportunities to push forward some things that they want because of this excess, this surplus.
Mm-hmm. And then the third thing that we want you to know about comes off the Up North News website, and that is let's go with three ways to save money on your 2023 taxes. There are new brackets, there's standard deductions, there's tax credits. And so Christina Laurie has put up at upnorthnewswi.com three ways that you can save money on them, the things that you need to know before you fill out your taxes, because it's not coming something up. Any of us really looks forward to, but it is like death. It's a part of life. Got to do it.
You have to do it. Yeah. And you might as well figure out some ways to save. And there are some good tips to look at. And yeah, that looks like a really interesting article.
Yeah. So look for that as well. Terry Bell from the Civic Media Newsroom. Good to talk to you as always. Thank you so much.
Bad.
All right. That's going to do it for us with a reminder that, again, those stories and more at upnorthnewswi.com or upnorthnewswi. Look for that on social media. Tomorrow, we'll have our friend Hans Breitenmoser in from Lincoln County as we talk about things happening with the Wisconsin Farmers Union and the rural economy. Up next, Earl Ingram in Waukesha, Oshkosh, and Green Bay, Stephanie Miller in Madison, Todd Alba for Richland Center, Wausau, and Amory, all along the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll see you tomorrow.